In the U.S., police killing is rising in very disturbing frequency. 8 were killed in the last 2 weeks. Gunmen are targeting them in retaliation for what they think is their deliberate killing of blacks, even though this happened in the line of duty. Now, any killing, of course, is disturbing, but killing cops has the added factor of killing agents of authority. And by killing them, it is an open rebellion against the authority of the state and done by someone who benefits from that state. Para kang pumatay ng otoridad na pinakikinabangan mo at ganyan ang bigat, ganyang karumal-dumal ang ganitong krimen. But there is a higher authority than the state, and rebelling against it carries a heavier culpability. And in Christian language, this is apostasy. And yet once more, I need to explain that apostasy does not mean loss of salvation. We do not believe that true salvation is going to be lost. But this is what happens when a man who is thought to be saved then gives up his professed faith. But one of the means for Christians to persevere in their faith is to take heed to the many warnings in scriptures that are telling us of the tragedy of apostasy. And those warnings are replete throughout the scriptures, especially in the New Testament. And there are those who will try to put them in a box of logic and reason out, since salvation is not going to be lost, and I am saved, then I need not take seriously those warnings because they do not apply to me. And that is the wrong approach. Of course, we believe in the fact that salvation is going to be eternal. It will not be lost. We will persevere. God will preserve us. But again, I keep saying one of the means for us to persevere is take heed to the warning. And one way of God warning His people against apostasy is through certain lives narrated for us in the scriptures. And we are studying one this month, and we will conclude today. Because Solomon has turned to sin after achieving such heights, the Lord raised enemies against him. Enemies from without, as well as enemies from within. And one of those adversaries within Israel is Jeroboam. Now Solomon saw the brilliance of young Jeroboam as far as building is concerned, and he gave him charge of his building projects. Jeroboam's gifts were being used for the kingdom of Yahweh, beautifying the palace, fortifying the wall of the capital in Jerusalem. And yet later on, when Jeroboam turned his back to God, those very gifts were employed for resistance against the cause of God. That's what apostasy does. Gifts used for the Lord's service may turn to the employ of evil. Now, during the period that Solomon was to be under judgment of God, the judgment was to divide his kingdom. Now, the man who first came to know of that divine plan through the prophet Ahijah was Jeroboam. And what he became as the first king of the northern kingdom was the result of hearing the word. So there we see Jeroboam in his early days, humbly hearing the word, fulfilling that word even in his own experience, becoming king of the northern kingdom. But later, this hearer of God's word could not bear the message of judgment of that same word, that same prophetic word. And again, this is what apostasy does. Delight in the word can turn to irrational hatred. And now, last Sunday, we saw the motivation behind all these departures of Jeroboam. Jeroboam feared that the regular journey to Jerusalem by his people from his kingdom will lead to disloyalty. Nangangamba siya na maagaw ang katapatan ng mga taong pumupunta sa Jerusalem upang sumamba ayon sa kalooban ng Diyos. At dito siya nagsimulang gumawa ng mga bagay na hindi ayon sa kalooban ng Diyos, pero nagsimula iyon sa motibo ng paninibugho para sa sarili. There we learn the initial stage of apostasy is where selfish jealousy prevails in one's religious motive. Now, if that is the initial stage, we will conclude by looking at the worst stage of apostasy. And again, we shall be jumping between passages, just short passages, 1 Kings chapter 12, 28 to 33. First Kings chapter 12, verses 28 to 33. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and he said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be the forerunner. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar, so he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. From there, jump to chapter 13, just two verses, verses 33 and 34. Chapter 13, 33 and 34. After this thing, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but made priests for the high places again from among all the people. Any who would, he ordained to be priests of the high places. And this thing became sin in the house of Jeroboam, so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. Then from there, jump to chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. And he tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and metal images, provoking me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Our last passage is in 2 Kings 17, verses 20 to 23. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. When he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from the following the Lord and made them commit great sin. The people of Israel walked in all the sins that Jeroboam did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had spoken by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria until this day. Well, in the story of Jeroboam, we saw him in the early stage as a faithful servant to Solomon, serving for kingdom concerns, using his gifts. Then we saw him as a humble hearer of the word to the prophecy of the prophet Ahijah. And through that prophecy, he became king. And in fact, the greater slice of the kingdom of David went to him, as 10 tribes sided with Jeroboam. And then last week, we saw his deterioration. The deterioration of his character because of his self-centered jealousy. And now, in our last part, we see Jeroboam at his worst. From kingdom servant, hearer of the word, a full-blown idolater. My message is apostasy erodes into its worst state in defiance of true worship. Ang pagtalikod ay gumuguho sa pinakamasahol nitong kalagayan, sa pag-aalsa laban sa tamang pagsamba. Apostasy erodes into its worst state of in defiance of true worship. It is a slow pace of development. A backsliding professor of faith may turn his back to many issues, but he still has the true God in mind. Then a turning point is reached, whether gradual or radical, when he begins his apostasy not just from certain institutions, but from God himself. And this is what happened to Jeroboam. And let us look at the two stages of this. First, God falsely worshipped. Ang Diyos ay sinamba sa kabulaanan. God falsely worshipped. And then the second, worshipping false gods. Sumasamba sa mga bula ang Diyos. So the first is God himself, the true God, falsely worshipped. And the second, worshipping false gods. This was the progress of Jeroboam's apostasy. So first, God falsely worshipped. Ang totoong Diyos pa rin ang gusto niyang sambahin, ngunit ang kanyang inimbentong pagsamba ay hindi ayon sa kalooban ni Yahweh. Because of his concern that his people will transfer their loyalty because they go to Jerusalem, what did Jeroboam do? Jeroboam set up shrines in strategic locations, namely Dan and Bethel, to entice the people to worship there. Now, Dan was the northernmost part of Israel. It was the northernmost tribe. Therefore, people from the middle region as well as the north would be enticed to go there, being closer than to Jerusalem. Bethel is also religiously significant. As I have said, that's where Jacob had a wonderful encounter with God through a vision of the staircase descending from heaven. And there he saw, there he had experience of God. And therefore, by choosing that place, Jeroboam calculated that people will realize that it need not be in Jerusalem. Bethel is as much a representation of encounter with God. What we see here is that while invoking the true God, there is now a sinful indifference to requisites of acceptable worship. Samantalang tinatawag pa rin ang tunay na Diyos, wala nang pakialam sa itinatadhana ng Diyos na paraan ng pagsamba sa Kanya, sapagkat may uri ng pagsambang tatanggapin ng Diyos, may pagsambang hindi niya tatanggapin. Pero para kay Jeroboam, hindi na mahalaga iyon. Kinakailangang sambahin ng Diyos, subalit huwag na lang pumunta sa itinakda ng Diyos sa Jerusalem. Bakit hindi na lang sa Dan? Bakit hindi na lang sa Bethel? And Jeroboam, upon making the golden calves, he certainly had a precedent in Exodus in mind because he used the very same words of Aaron when he did the golden calf in Kadesh Barnea and told the Israelites in the wilderness because of the absence of Moses, "This is Yahweh who has delivered you from Egypt." Exactly the same words that Jeroboam used. Now, many translations have the plural gods, and I don't think that is the correct translation. You know, the word God in the original is really plural, but it refers to the true God, Elohim. And the fact that he was using the very words of Aaron means that he was invoking the same thing. This is your God who delivered you from the land of Egypt. So Jeroboam wisely invokes the true God of Israel because it would be unimaginable that he would have gained credence if upfront he invokes false gods. After all, he was courting Jerusalem goers. And they go to Jerusalem precisely to worship Yahweh. So at the beginning, Jeroboam was invoking the true God. And then there is another subtle thing in the choice of Bethel. Bethel was only 10 miles north of Jerusalem and of the temple. And Jeremiah probably cleverly calculated that during the travel of the people going to Jerusalem, by the time they reached the spot of Bethel, they would be weary. And because it is on the main road, the enticement would certainly be almost irresistible not to proceed to Jerusalem. Jeroboam must have built a shrine that matches the temple. And by seeing that, why not here? That's the beginning of being indifferent to what God has instituted to be acceptable worship. There is no other place but Jerusalem. There is no other shrine but the temple. But now weary, they would have reason by way of enticement to just stay in Bethel. They may think our patriarch Jacob had a wonderful encounter with God here. Why not with us as well? And this is the beginning of backsliding when it comes to worship. Thinking from requisite to convenience. Kapag nagsimula na mag-isip mula sa kung ano ang tinadhana ng Diyos, at ang mas iisipin ay ano ang mas maginhawa, ano ang mas madali, diyan ang simula ng pagtalikod sa pagsamba. Further, Jeroboam established a priesthood that was outside the clan of Levi. So they may have asked, why keep to one tribe? Why not give the privilege to all the tribes? Well, again, it goes back to the law that only among the Levites, in fact, only in the family of Aaron should the priesthood be derived. And then to complete his match-up with the worship of Jerusalem, he had his own festival instituted. And he chose a day that would rival the most important day of feast in Jerusalem, the Day of Atonement. Talagang eksaktong pinili niya yung lugar ng kanyang altar, ang mga saserdote, ay mas madali kang makakakuha ng loyalty kung kumuha ka ng mga saserdote sa iba't ibang bayan. At pagkatapos, gumawa siya ng isang pista para pantayan at hamunin ang pinakamahalagang pista sa Israel, ang Day of Atonement. So Jeroboam. So I put here just Jer to abbreviate. So Jeroboam proved astute and clever to erase God's question in Isaiah 1 verse 12. Everyone who draws near to God, God asks the question, who has required this in your hands? Sinong humingi nito sa iyong mga kamay? And as we have read one of the texts, the people were made to sin. They were persuaded. Why? Because it is easier. And by having priests from all the tribes, they may say, this comes with a family. And unlike the gravity of Jerusalem, this is fun, this is easy. I'm sure you follow in the news the galugad that prison officials are doing, especially now that special forces are the ones guarding. And it is always, I can only scratch my head when officials discover from the prison cells of drug lords, inmates in the Bureau of Correction, top-of-the-line entertainment gadgets and communication technology. How can they do that? So they're living it up while supposedly in a place of punishment. Yet that is how people would like it done when it comes to worship. Now, the challenge of this to us is, if we will be shielded from apostasy, seek God's acceptance as He requires for every engagement of worship. Hanapin mo ang pagtanggap ng Diyos ayon sa Kanyang tinadhana sa tuwing ikaw ay sasamba. It is the seed of apostasy when you start on the path of indifference to what God requires for His worshipers. You may go for the ease of Bethel rather than the self-denying requisite of going further to Jerusalem. Now, it has its modern forms today. Why go to church morning and evening when morning would just do it just fine? So, forgotten is the requirement of the Lord's day. Or one may think there is no need to really sing along with those who sing with enthusiasm. I can just mumble on. And you call it praise? And when it comes to the offering, one may ask, do I really need to have generous and liberal giving? God owns everything, so a mere token will do. And why concentrate on the preached word? I can doze off through it until the preacher is done. And why is it centered on the preached word anyway? Why don't we have some fun? Group dynamics, lively music. That way we can match what the world offers. And people will still go to church. And it will be no different than going to parties. All these are symptoms of a worshiper who, while still invoking God, has changed the agenda. He requires now worship to be acceptable to Him. I am the seeker. And the vocabulary now is make it seeker friendly. Make me like your worship service. Well, listen, Jesus puts it differently to the Samaritan woman. In John 4:23, Jesus said, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. We are not the seekers. God is. He will either accept or reject, and it is not up to our agenda. There is a point made in our text that is quite close to what I do. It says in chapter 13:33, He made priests from every class of people for the high places. Whoever wished, He consecrated him. Basta nag-apply, gusto ko maging saserdote, o sige, ordination, o doon ka na, naka-assign ka na sa isang high place. Ganun niya pinadali ang pagpasok sa pagiging saserdote. And today, the equivalent of that is get any preacher to stand in the pulpit. Never mind that he cannot expound the word as long as he can tickle the people with stories, that should be enough. And this is, I said, close to my heart because this is something that I have to do and decide almost every semester when I have to talk to someone, tell him to discontinue. And there have been men who cried, shed tears to me to be given a chance. And while my heart tugs at the emotion, I think of the ministry and what sort of men should be put in there. Long ago, I remember someone I have assigned a subject. Martin Luther, what could be an easier topic than that? And then when he began to report, he said, Martin Luther is a civil liberties leader whose most famous speech is, I have a dream. Of course, he was talking of Martin Luther King. Well, at the end of the semester, I had to tell him to discontinue, and he was begging. And I told him, I have a dream. GMA will be filled with men who truly are committed to the ministry with wisdom and intelligence. This is where it begins, when we may invoke the true God, but worship Him without sensitivity to what He requires. But then it eroded further, the second point, worshiping false gods. This is the assessment of the prophet of Jeroboam. You have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger and have cast me behind your back. That's the language of apostasy. We learn here that indifference to acceptable worship is the path to apostate worship of false gods. Kapag walang halaga sa atin ang tamang pagsamba na itinakda ng Diyos, guguho ito sa tumalikod na pagsamba sa mga bulaang Diyos. From invoking Yahweh at the beginning of his departure from Jerusalem worship, now Jeroboam worships pagan idols. And his evil, according to the assessment, is worst of all. Now come to think of it. We just read in our scripture reading of the cruelty of Menachem, how he ripped open pregnant women in the course of his conquest. That's cruelty of the most heinous kind. And yet, you see, the point is apostasy in worship is the worst, especially as he dragged along with him his people. Isinama pa ang mga mamamayan sa kanyang pagtalikot sa tunay na Diyos. And this is how God detests idolatry. And ultimately, blame for what befell Israel was traced back to Jeroboam, the total disintegration of the northern kingdom. Again, that's how God detests idolatry. Isaiah 42:8 summarizes it. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. But idolatry does not just happen in temples. Idolatry today happens in the market, in the glitz of showbiz, in the shiny floors of political halls. It may be you have your own idol that you struggle with, and you better name it as such. During the Japanese occupation, the Japanese colonizers issued their own currency, and it was such that the highest denomination was only 10 pesos. And because of hyperinflation at that period, imagine just to make transaction at 1,000 pesos, you need to carry with you 110 peso bills. And there have been such transactions na kailangan magdala ng bayong na pera-pera ang laman. And because of the little value of that currency, Filipinos, as they always do, made fun of it by calling it Mickey Mouse money. But in reality, that is what money will prove if you make a god of it. It will just be a Mickey Mouse. So the challenge is mortify every rival to the supreme place of God as the only object of your worship. Hamunin mo ang bawat kumakaribal sa pangunahing puwang ng Diyos bilang siyang dapat sambahin. Jeroboam had time and supply to think of the original encounter between Jacob and God. As he stayed there in Bethel, he had time, he had the means to make a meditation of what happened. What happened there when Jacob awoke from his dream about the staircase descending from heaven? This is what he said in Genesis 28:16 and following. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. House of God is Bethel. When did you have last that kind of experience of worship of God? When God is so real to you. And yet apostates are those who once joined the worship of the church. They once responded, apparently with death, to the word of God. As one day John Wesley wrote in his journal after preaching one evening, he wrote in his journal, many appeared deeply moved, but only God knows how deep. And that can happen. I mentioned this morning in our Sunday school, Hebrews 6:4 and following. And what it says is, to what heights someone may experience the work of God, the things of God in the church, and still fall short. Listen to Hebrews 6:4, where once enlightened, they have tasted the heavenly gift. They have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. They have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and still fall away. Now, being partakers of the Holy Spirit does not mean they experience the indwelling and the sanctifying and the infilling work of the Holy Spirit we studied this morning. It simply means by being part of the church, when the Spirit moved powerfully, they shared the powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. They probably shed tears of conviction. They probably rejoiced with the congregation. They had all this, and still they fall away. Something like what John Bunyan illustrated in the Pilgrim's Progress, one of the most sobering portions of that, when Christian went into the house of the interpreter, and there he saw a man in the cage. And when he asked, "Who are you? What are you?" the man in the cage said, "I am now what I once was not." And when Christian asked, "What were you once?" and he said, "I was once a flourishing professor of faith, both in my eyes and in the eyes of others." And what happened, he said, when I left off watching. Nang tumigil ako sa pagbabantay, doon nagsimula ang pagdulas tungo sa pagtalikod. The idea of the warning is not, as I've said, for it to be logically analyzed. Just take it seriously for the purpose of perseverance. Don't make your Christian life revolve on thrills. It is serious progress of holiness and perseverance. I have a subscription of the e-newsletter of Christianity Today, and I read a chilling account this week about an American young man whose thrill is to take selfies while crossing a railroad with a running train. Tumatawid siya sarili sa adong may paparating na train, magsi-selfie, tapos ay tatakbo. And he would post this on social media with the hashtag LiveAuthentic. Well, last month he had his last selfie. The train hit him. But you see, the point, this is what people try to get a kick to make their life go on. They have their thrills without realizing that the running judgment is rushing to them. Well, today, as we draw to a close this series, I call upon you who are still strangers to grace, come to Christ. Some thrill may be giving your life a kick, but soon judgment will rush on you. Come to Christ now. And for us believers, again, don't put this in a box of logic. Just take it seriously. Watch and persevere by the preserving grace of God. Let us sing our last hymn. Oh Jesus, I have promised. And the writer on the second verse eloquently expresses the peril he feels and yet the assurance, the presence of the Lord Jesus. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle. The tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. And may our prayer be as his, but Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Let's close in prayer. Dakilang Diyos, mabuti naming Ama, nawa nga ay seryosohin namin ang babala sa buhay ni Jeroboam, kung paanong ang isang minsay kinasangkapan sa pagtatayo ng kaharian. At minsan naging mabada ang loob sa pagtanggap ng salita ng propesiya. Ngunit unti-unti ang kanyang naging pagtalikod sapagkat pinairal niya ang paninibugho sa sarili at sa kahulihan ay tumalikod ng buo sa tunay na Diyos upang sumamba sa mga bula ang Diyos. May this be a warning that we take seriously, that we don't put in a box of logic and analysis, instead just to take to heart the gravity of becoming indifferent to the requisites of worship. May we never erode into preferring convenience over the requisite, preferring what is fun over the seriousness of your word. Help us, Lord, to follow your standard of scripture concerning acceptable worship, and may we be challenged that every time we engage in worship, that we do seek that which will be acceptable to you, that which will be pleasing to you. May we never erode into any attraction to the false gods of this world. May we mortify any idol we are allowing to occupy some place in our hearts that will challenge the supremacy of God. We take seriously the language of Hebrews about certain people who may rise to heights of experience in the movement of the Holy Spirit in the church and yet ultimately fall away. So we ask for your grace indeed to follow the Lord Jesus, knowing the perils around us and within, but your preserving grace is assured. So help us to walk the Christian walk of perseverance in all seriousness as you shower us with preserving grace. Do this for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.